Oklahoma City. The morning of April 19, 1995, started out just like the day before and the day before that. Another beautiful spring day. Children were in school and workers were at their desks. But at 9:02 a.m., the city's world, as well as the entire country's, was changed forever with the bombing of the nine-story tall Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building.
We have a large column of smoke to be south of this address. Are you going to check on that?
Changing destination, going to South Commons, Dead.
Federal Court Building. Jesse, Gary is in Chopper 9. Jesse, tell us what you're seeing from the air.
Black billow, smoke billowing from the Federal Court Building downtown, and this debris, glass, building matter spread on several downtown blocks.
When the building exploded, most people first assumed that it must have been a natural gas leak or other natural cause. But within hours, state troopers pulled over Timothy McVeigh for failure to display a rear license plate on his Mercury. The troopers then noticed that McVeigh was carrying a Glock semi-automatic, and before long, the pieces of the puzzle spilled the makings of one of the deadliest terrorist attacks in America's history.
Thick smoke still coming from the building and on the ground. Part of the building.
168 people were killed with 850 injured, and the devastation extended far beyond the federal building. More than 300 surrounding structures were damaged or destroyed. 219 children lost at least one parent. 462 people were left homeless, and 7,000 were left without a workplace. And 12,384 volunteers were involved in rescue, recovery, and support operations. Kerry Watkins, executive director of the Oklahoma City National Memorial and Museum, noted that the immediate response to the explosion was the exact opposite of what one might imagine. She said instead of filling people with fear, the reaction was one of pulling together and people helping each other. She noted a comment by a journalist who said that her first image of the Oklahoma City bombing was not of people running away from the building, but running to the building to help each other. I attended a press meeting at the Memorial and Museum where Kerry Watkins addressed the journalists. She gave an overview of the museum's highlights and then said, "At some point in the tour, you will be brought to tears." I've covered memorial museums around the world, and I remember thinking to myself as Kerry said that I doubted very much this would happen to me. Was I ever wrong? Not only was I brought to tears, I was literally rendered speechless. As I turned on the tape to start recording Miss Watkins as we toured the memorial, and I started to ask my first question, I couldn't say anything. I literally was rendered speechless and asked her to just keep on talking. Come along and join us at the Oklahoma City Memorial and Museum with Kerry Watkins.
We got some waivers there. We got a bad patient back here.
Adam 92 headquarters, we need ladders in the southeast court of the federal building.
The water resources building, which is on the south side, it also looks like it's damaged. There is a very large fire. There was debris everywhere down here, smoke billowing into the air.
Kerry Watkins, I'm the executive director of the Oklahoma City National Memorial Museum. The Memorial Museum is located in the heart of downtown Oklahoma City, and it stands on the site where the building was bombed, April 19, 1995, the federal building. And today, on that same footprint, stands 168 chairs and a reflecting pool on the street where Timothy McVeigh drove his Ryder truck to full of explosives to blow up the building. And then the museum is housed just directly north of that.
The fire department in the basement of the federal building. There's a children's center, and we need to get the fire department officials up here as quick as we can.
The memorial and museum are meant to be intertwined. The outdoor is meant to be more symbolic and teaching, and the museum is meant to be more of a educational mission where you can learn the details of what happened outside. And it's told in a chapter, much like a book. So you experience the morning of the bombing, perfect, beautiful spring morning, and you begin to evolve and experience moment by moment what this city went through and this nation went through. Now, you know, rewind back to 1995. There wasn't the internet flux there is today. There was not 24-hour TV except for CNN. The museum tries to show you where we were as a country and where we are today, and put you in a position to make some tough decisions. And how willing are you to make a difference, and how willing are you to stand up? You know, this whole act could have been stopped if McVeigh's friend made a few phone calls, or one phone call. and he didn't. So that provides us an incredible teaching tool for young kids who come and experience this classroom of sorts. And it really is meant to be a place and a destination for people to come and learn. We have visitors here every year from all 50 states and about 95 countries. And we have been blessed by travelers from all over the world. So we try to make this an experience that they can see the inside of Oklahomans and people in Oklahoma City and how the people in this town took the very worst and made the very best of it.
It's such a profound experience. You tried to tip me off ahead of time, and it isn't until you get in here that you realize I can't even talk anymore.
The explosion went off around 9 a.m., and we could feel the explosion in the newsroom of Channel 9. Shook the building, so you can imagine what it did downtown. There is thick smoke still coming from the building and on the ground. I can see.
Well, we want people to experience what people felt like that morning and to take you back to that moment. Because if we don't take you back to that moment and have you feel how we felt then and the morning of September 11th, then we're likely more likely to forget. We're more likely to tolerate it. I had an Israeli journalist here one day. The day McVeigh was about to be sentenced to death and or put to death. And he said, we would never do this in Israel because we'd have one at every corner. We'd have a memorial at every corner. And I said, that's why we did this. We never wanted to be too accepting of terrorism and violence. And, people should understand the impact of it and what it does to lives, innocent lives. So these are not people who asked for this. This was not even an act of war. I mean, they had no clue this was coming. They had no way to prepare for it. They were working that morning, and they weren't on a mission except to work for their government or to use a service of the government. And so that's where I get really passionate about the lessons we have to teach and how an important responsibility we all have to bring people to these places, young, middle age, old, to make sure we're all within us know we're doing something to make a difference.
To the southeast corner of the federal building, we've got people standing on the second floor jumping out windows, and we've got the child daycare center somewhere up here.
My name is Carrie Watkins. I'm the director of the Oklahoma City National Memorial Museum.
And for further information?
For further information, it's 1-888-542-HOPE or www.oklahomacitynationalmemorial.org.
Carrie, thank you so much for sharing. This is a real poignant moment for me, I'll tell you that much.
We're glad to have you here.
Great. Thanks. The memorial and museum are dedicated to educating visitors about the impact of violence, informing about events surrounding the bombing, and inspiring hope and healing through lessons learned. The Oklahoma City National Memorial is an affiliate of the National Park System, but it is owned and operated and maintained by the Oklahoma City National Memorial Foundation. The Oklahoma City National Memorial and Museum does not receive any operating funds from the federal, state, or local government. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.